Our reading today is from Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. Let us listen for the word of God. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Hear what the Spirit is saying.
This past Wednesday morning, around 4 a.m. in the morning, Gordon Cosby died. Gordon and his wife, Mary, were the founders of the Church of the Savior in Adams Morgan. I would say that no other church influenced the life of Foundry Church more than the Church of the Savior and Gordon Cosby. I've written a short essay for the Washington Post, which you can find on their website, about the significance of Gordon's life and ministry. You can also find on the internet memories by Jim Wallace of Sojourners. And we have copies of those in the church office if you'd prefer a hard copy. Gordon's memorial service will be here at Foundry Church on Saturday, April the 6th at 10:30 a.m. And even if you did not know Gordon or had not been exposed to the Church of the Savior, I'd invite you to come to that celebration because it will be a learning and renewal experience for all of us. Gordon believed that the church was about the inward journey and the outward journey. And he also believed that the church wasn't about being church. So there were no committees at the Church of the Savior. There were only people who were exploring the spiritual depths of their life and people who were exploring engagement in the world. He taught that we cannot go further into engagement on behalf of justice in the world than we go into God spiritually. And we cannot go into God spiritually any further than we go in terms of engaging the world on behalf of justice. So it's a life amazingly well lived, and I'd encourage you to mourn and celebrate Gordon with us. Many organizations, by the way, that we volunteer at here at Foundry were begun by Gordon and the Church of the Savior, including Christ House, Jubilee Housing, Jubilee Homes, just so many, 39 ministries that were born out of that church's commitment to spirituality and mission. And on your behalf, I send a letter this week to Green Street United Methodist Church in Winston-Salem. Winston-Salem in North Carolina. Green Street United Methodist Church has taken a bold stand on behalf of marriage equality. If you go to our website, to my blog, you can find a copy of the letter. There's also hard copies of that letter in the church office if you'd like a hard copy. It's one thing, and I celebrate that we've done it. It's one thing to take a stand on behalf of marriage equality here in the heart a Washington, D.C. It's another thing to take a stand for marriage equality in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And the Green Street congregation has just been amazingly bold and prophetic, and we need to support one another along this journey. So I hope others of you will Google or check our website and share in your prayers and support for Green Street United Methodist Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I also want to say a word of welcome to someone who's with us this morning, James Rideout. James is a candidate for ministry in the United Methodist Church, endorsed and sent into ministry by our church, by Foundry Church. He served a congregation for several years and then took a sabbatical where he's been teaching in Florida, and he's back, and he's met with our conference committees, and he's available for appointment to a church again. So we're praying that the bishop will find a church and find the right church for James. It's great to have him back at Foundry. James, would you stand up? James Rideout. We want to encourage James in ministry. I'm going to be leading us in a time of prayer this morning for the Supreme Court as it prepares for a week of pivotal and important discussion and the beginning of deliberations around a number of cases that have to do with marriage equality. So I want to get right into the words I have to say this morning. The Sunday before the Friday that he was to die in the most humiliating and shameful way that a person could die, the Sunday before the Friday that Jesus was to hang on a cross, helpless and powerless, the Sunday before that Friday of humiliation and powerlessness, Jesus proclaimed himself a king. All this Lent, we've been talking about hopeless places in our life, experiences that can make us feel hopeless. And we've been trying to affirm the possibility that it is in hopeless places that God can find us and we can find God. Jesus, during the last days of his life, was in as hopeless a place as any of us could imagine. There was a death sentence hanging over his head. He was targeted for execution and death. And Jesus' response was to declare himself a king. All of us have had some experience of powerlessness, helplessness in our life. Maybe we got a diagnosis that we couldn't do anything to change. Maybe there's a loved one in our life in trouble who we cannot help. Maybe we have family members who do not fully accept us and we cannot change their minds. Maybe we're without a job and cannot find employment. Maybe we haven't been able to find someone to love us that we can love back. Maybe we are helpless to control an addiction. Maybe there are emotions in our life that we seem helpless to control. Jesus, in a position of helplessness and powerlessness, responded by declaring himself to be a king. I'm amazingly thankful for the time in which, the time in history in which I've had the opportunity to live. So much has happened in my lifetime so far. I went from seeing on television when I was a child footage of African Americans being hosed down by fire hoses when they were trying to vote, to seeing the first African American president of the United States elected twice. I'm not saying that the problems are all resolved and that the issues are all past. I'm just saying that I got something to see in my lifetime, something that generations would have hoped to see or maybe even never imagined being able to someday see. I've lived in amazing times. I got to see the first women elected to Congress who were more than tokens. I got to see the first women elected bishops in the Episcopalian Church and in the United Methodist Church. I got to see the first generation of women CEOs in Fortune 500 companies. I believe I will live to see Hillary elected president. I'm not saying that all of the issues are resolved. I'm just saying that I got to see some things in my generation that millions of Americans throughout history never imagined could happen. I got to see curb cuts. I walk a lot. I walk the sidewalks of this city a lot, and I see people in wheelchairs being able to travel across this city. When I was younger, I would have never imagined. I got to see curb cuts so that people who are differently able did not need to live their lives inside but are able to get out to go to work, to go to worship, to go to play. I'm not saying all issues around this are resolved. I'm just saying that curb cuts, that ramps, I got to see a ramp come through the front door of this church. That ramps are amazing things. And I got to live during a time when they became normal. I get to see Republicans and Democrats agree that we need to reform immigration policy. Years ago, I served a church where we had a congregation that included people who were born in 38 different nations. And a number of those people did not have papers. And they lived in constant fear that someone would find out and that they would lose their job, that they would be deported, that their family would be ripped apart. And I got to live to see the day when Americans of all political persuasions would agree that we need immigration reform. Many of the people in that church that I served years ago did not live to see this day. And I get to see the Supreme Court of the United States deliberate about same-gender marriage. When I was young, you could not talk in many places about same-gender love. It was called the love that may not speak its name. You couldn't talk about homosexuality in church. After seminary, the second position I held, I was interviewed for, and I mentioned homosexuality as one of the things I thought we needed to study and explore, and I spent an hour and a half in the hallway while the committee decided whether or not to offer me the position because I had spoken the name of same-gender love. And now, I get to see the Supreme Court debate it. Now, some people tell me that I ought to talk about it less. I, in this generation, got to see that. When Jesus was on the brink of being a big-time loser, when he was powerless to save his own life, nonetheless to establish the kingdom that he had promised people, he declared himself a king. And he became a king even though he never got to see it himself except from heaven. What I'm trying to say is that when I experience a sense of powerlessness or hopelessness about the things that I worry about, like ending homelessness, ending gun violence, ending the cradle-to-prison pipeline, ending discrimination against LGBTQ people in the church, ending world hunger, all of the things that I tend to despair about and wonder whether they're ever really going to happen, when I become discouraged, when I feel powerless, when I have things in my personal life that happen that cause me to feel helpless and powerful, and I tend toward despair, when I think about all these things, I realize how little faith I really have when I've gotten to see the way God moves in human history, the things that God does in human history. I've lived in a lifetime where God has moved in powerful ways, and why is it that I have so little faith, really? And tend to despair about the things that aren't happening fast enough for me. Jesus declared himself a king when he was powerless to avoid his own crucifixion, because he was confident that the kingdom to which he had given his life would come, even if he would die on a cross. How little faith I have. Viktor Frankl was a psychologist who developed his psychological theories after being a prisoner in a Nazi concentration camp. During his time in camp, his wife died, his brother died, his mother died. Viktor Frankl experienced and witnessed the worst that one group of human beings can do to another group. And here's what Viktor Frankl said. He said, "Everything can be taken away from a person but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. We may feel defeated in life. Things may happen that cause us to experience a sense of powerlessness, a sense of hopelessness. But we can always choose whether we will despair or whether we will believe in God to do what we ourselves may not live to see. We are fortunate to live in a time where we have seen God move in wonderful ways. We have gotten in our lifetime to see God do great and glorious things. So I wish I had more faith. I wish I had the faith of slaves who never got to see emancipation but lived one day after another faithfully as they could. I wish I had the faith of women who never saw suffrage or the opportunity for women to engage in the world, for women to have positions of influence and power, but who lived with hope one day at a time. People who were differently abled, who never saw accessibility, but who lived out their life faithfully. Gay people who never dreamed of marriage equality or being able to be open about who they were, but lived with hope. Sometimes I wonder whether the reason I got to live in this lifetime, in this particular place in history, was because God knew that my faith was so weak that unless I saw miracles and wonders happening in the world, that I probably wouldn't be able to believe at all. On the Sunday before his great defeat, Jesus proclaimed himself a winner. He proclaimed himself a king. And his kingdom did come. We've come this far by faith, trusting in the Lord. He's never failed us yet. We want to have a time of prayer for the Supreme Court as it does its deliberations this week on two cases that have to do with marriage equality. Stuart Delaray, who's a member of our congregation, actually argued one of these cases in lower court and worked on the briefs this week. Stuart, would you raise your hand so people can see you? And we want to keep Stuart in our prayers. Among other things, Stuart is a great dad. He's raising his kids here at Foundry and just been named actually head of the civil division of the Department of Justice. And we have other people in our congregation, some of whom are not here because they're very much engaged in working in preparation for this week. I believe on the laying on of hands. There are places in this city, including the Supreme Court, where when I walk past them, I stop and I lay my hands on the steps or I lay my hands on some part of the building. I do this on the Methodist building all the time. Pray for the social justice within the United Methodist Church. Pray for inclusion. So I'd like to ask if I know there's some people going on Tuesday morning to be part of the prayer rally, but I'd like to ask if there's some people who would make a commitment to walk past the Supreme Court, this building this Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, and lay your hands on it and say a word of prayer. Anyone believe in laying on of hands? Thank you. And now I'd like us all who are willing, if we would rise and face in that direction, which is about where the Supreme Court is, I believe, in that direction. Focus your attention. We know what it looks like. Focus your attention on the building. Focus your thoughts on the building and let us pray. We pray, O God, for the Supreme Court this week as it considers the cases before it having to do with marriage equality. We ask that now as we pray, your Spirit might fill that building, that it might guide and move the justices as they listen, help them to listen well, help them to listen to both the arguments and also to your movement and your speaking to them. We ask that you would grant them wisdom of the mind and compassion of the heart. We pray for all of the clerks, lots of people in this room who clerk there, and we pray for all of the clerks and for all of the employees, all of the people who make the Supreme Court possible, even those who sweep the floors. And we pray, O God, that we pray not for a specific decision, but we pray that what the Supreme Court does might continue to move us ahead to a world where there is justice and inclusion for each and every one. No one, we consider no one with hatred or disparagement. We ask that you might bless everyone who tries to do what they feel led to do today. And we ask you to move through it and to lead us closer to your promise of a new land, of a promised land. And we will trust in you in all things. And we ask that for each and every one of us, the passion that you lay upon our heart in any area of life, that you might enable us to trust in you, that you might enable us to believe in you, that when we tend to become discouraged or feel like things are not moving fast enough, help us to remember those who through centuries waited for great patience for some of the days that we have seen. Move at the Supreme Court, move in our hearts, move in our city, move in our world. We pray especially this morning for other places in the world outside of the United States as they begin to wrestle with matters of inclusion and justice, and ask that you might bless them as well. We trust your grace and we trust your love. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have something in your life while our eyes are closed and we're paying attention to what's going on inside of us, if you have something in your life that you feel is really defeating you right now, if you've got a struggle, if you've got a disappointment, if you've got something that's threatening you and you're feeling like it might crucify you, I'd like to invite you to raise your hand so that we up front here, the clergy, can see. We want to keep you in our prayers. This is Palm Sunday. This is the Sunday that we declare victory before we can see it, before anybody can see it. Trusting that God will work through whatever's going on in our life for the sake of God's kingdom, for the sake of joy, for the sake of victory, for the sake of new possibility. And we trust in God for that this morning. Amen. You can lower your hands. Trusting in the power of the God who works even through crosses, we go into Holy Week. Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and then we wait for God. Amen.